When it comes to the iconic fisheries of New England, lobster is a close second only to cod. But it's not doing so well in southern New England. And some have called Maine's booming lobster industry a gilded trap. So what's wrong with lobster? The challenges facing New England's lobsters were a major topic of discussion last week at an international workshop on lobster biology in Portland, Maine. And joining me now is Carrie LaValle. She's a senior lecturer of natural sciences and mathematics at Boston University, and she was one of the organizers of that lobster conference. Also, Beth Cassoni. She's executive director of the Massachusetts Lobstermen's Association. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Carrie, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is thriving and 1 is, you know, basically gone or dead, where is the southern New England lobster population at this point?
Well, Beth Cassoni could probably give you better information than I could, but I would say it's probably at a 3-ish. And that's because of some challenges with not only disease, but also high temperatures in the area.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How much of a factor is climate change in this versus something like overfishing or maybe a more direct human impact?
Rather than a direct human impact such as fishing, it really is more of a climate change picture. Certainly a lot of the talks at the conference, particularly in the disease section, implicated temperature as one of the major problems that was causing the incidence of shell disease, and it was also causing a major change in the shell's microbiome. So temperature has a major effect. And then other implicated things are things such as heavy metals being present in water, certainly anything that humans do like oil spills or other kinds of organic enrichment. But I really wouldn't put this on fisheries at all.
Beth, in the cod fishery, there's a lot of mistrust between the fishermen who are out there on the water and the scientists who are feeding information to regulators about the state of the population, a lot of mistrust of those actual stock assessments. Is there any of that debate or divide about the state of the southern New England lobster population?
Well, the southern New England lobster population has endured a multitude of stresses, as Carrie alluded to. Our fishers have been seeing high increases of runoff from power plants, and also there's been a strong odor in the New Bedford area of bleach in the water. So that's coming from, where is that coming from? That's coming from humans running off the land. And the predation factor in southern New England has risen exorbitantly.
And what do you mean by that, the predation factor?
The predation, it's single species management, where they're managing one species individually, and black sea bass. I'll give you an example. Black sea bass has exploded in southern New England because of the warming waters, and we've seen, you know, plenty of photographs. Every fish that's cut open has 8 to 10 to 12 baby lobsters in them, so they're eating juvenile lobsters before they can reach sexual maturity, so they can't reproduce. And, you know, going back to your statement about the stock assessments and the cod stock assessments, I've seen some pretty interesting videography done by SMAST, and they have the technologies now where they've built a modeling program where they can use an open cod end so there's no mortality. It's really unfortunate that the way historically stock assessments have been done is where there's mortality. It's almost 100% mortality to the species that they're assessing. And this open cod end concept has great retention. I think the only mortality is the 5 to 20 that they might sample the contents of their stomach. And it's definitely gaining some momentum for the cod survey. And we have our state survey done by the Gloria Michelle, and that's with a small mesh bottom trawler. And you know, we kind of scratch our head at the use of the data, because you don't use lobster pots to catch groundfish, so why are they using the small mesh bottom trawlers to sample lobsters? You know, it's almost a double-edged sword. And just to go back to southern New England for a minute, southern New England is a very large area that ranges from the south coast of Massachusetts down to Virginia and up into Long Island Sound. And we're in the process right now of going through Addendum 25 at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. And the one thing that the industry would like to see done collectively is to have the target threshold reevaluated. And what that does is it sets the bar for where the stock should be at. And to look at historic high thresholds, it's almost like a never achievable goal in that stock, where the waters are climbing slowly and the stock is not going to be able to achieve that historic high threshold. And then the other thing, too, that was brought up is Long Island Sound, which is part of Southern New England, into Area 6 from just Connecticut into New York. That area has been, it used to be the boom. I mean, that's where the lobsters used to be landed. And now there's nothing. I mean, they've gone from thousands of fishermen to a couple of hundred. And we really want to have that area reevaluated and also the Buzzards Bay area reevaluated, because they're such hostile environments for lobsters. And if you keep those areas into the modeling program for the stock assessment, it's a complete negative false number, and that it just drives down the overall stock. The fishermen that are still fishing in southern New England are moving out to deeper, colder waters where the lobsters are. There's a handful of guys in Massachusetts and Rhode Island area, too, that are nearshore fishermen. And when I say a handful, I'm talking maybe 150 to 200 fishermen, when there used to be thousands.
Carrie, you know, the lobster fishery has been in various places in southern New England closed on and off over the past 5 years. There's also, I know at the conference there was a lot of talk about the idea of marine protected areas. I mean, stopping fishing, protecting parts of the ocean, that can't stop the rise in water temperature. If that's really what's affecting the lobster population, you know, bringing it down to this 3 out of 10 level where it is now, what's the future prognosis, and is there anything we can do that's effective to try to bolster these populations?
So MPAs are kind of an interesting phenomena. It doesn't do you really that much good to close things down for a short period of time. The best work that's been done on MPAs has been done in Europe, and it has been a very long-term situation. But you have to remember that Europe overfished their fisheries way back in the 1700s and 1800s, so they're already dealing with much lower stocks than we ever have seen. The one study that was presented at the conference on an MPA that had been in existence for 25 years did show a rise in biomass in lobster and other fish, but that's a very long-term solution, and that doesn't help people who are economically dependent on this fishery. As Beth said, the real issue with lobsters in southern New England is that they are moving into deeper, colder waters, and only certain fishermen with certain size vessels can get out into those waters. And if they continue to move deeper and deeper, that is going to even make it harder for coastal fishermen to fish those lobsters. So MPAs in that area are not really going to help anything. Fisheries closures, they would have to be very, very long-term to see any kind of effect. And in coastal areas, it's not going to make any difference. Also, as Beth indicated, the fact that we have many, many predators moving up from the south that these lobsters have never seen before and really do not know how to interact with is a significant issue. One of the more interesting studies that was in a Monday session on behavioral ecology showed that it really does matter if lobsters have seen a predator, a new predator, before or if they have not. So, for example, this was looking at the black sea bass, and it was looking at how lobsters in southern New England and in parts of Massachusetts reacted to those animals versus how lobsters in Maine reacted to those animals, and they saw differences in the lobster's behavior. Massachusetts and southern New England lobsters seem to say, yeah, I know that you're a black bass, and I better stay the heck away from you, and lobsters in Maine had no clue. And so they were more naive about these predators and more likely to encounter them. This means that that the population has to learn. They literally have to learn how to deal with the predators, and they have to learn how to become more predator sensitive. And those animals that don't learn that die. They get eaten. And it's not just going to be the black sea bass that's a problem. It's going to be other subtropical fishes who aren't so much swallowers but are smashers. And if you look at all of the literature on mollusks, there's a reason that mollusks down south have spines on their shells, and that's to prevent these smashers from getting them. There's a reason that spiny lobsters are spiny. Our lobsters do not have those features, and so if they have to now deal with a predator who just literally drives themselves at the lobster like a kamikaze pilot, our lobsters are not going to win that war. So we have a lot of problems going on, but it really is, as Beth said, it's an ecosystem problem. So you can't just look at it as a single fishery management issue. It's a whole ecosystem problem as the ecosystems completely change over time. And this is going to be a real challenge for not just Southern New England fisheries, but eventually for Maine fisheries as well, as the waters keep warming. The Gulf of Maine is one of the fastest temperature changing water area in the entire country. So we have some significant issues ahead of us.
Those lobsters have a steep learning curve in the face of climate change. Carrie LaValle is a senior lecturer at Boston University, one of the organizers of last week's International Lobster Conference. Beth Cassoni is executive director of the Massachusetts Lobstermen's Association. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.